Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
If you want to run uncut, yeah. Unapologetic from the jump,
yeah.
And no politics in this club, just dirt from the streets and the cliques in the mud.
Tech 12,
best podcast for the Seahawks, number one sports talk, yeah, we got it on live.
Tech 12,
every episode 12 hot takes, and we repping for Seattle, my place.
Tech 12.
It's the Tech 12 podcast. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. On this episode, there's a lot to do. We check in on the upcoming matchup with the Niners. Lofa tells you what we need to do to come out of there with a W and what went wrong last time. And we predict the score and let you know what the final score will be, of course, as always. Also, we'll be joined by current Seahawk beast Nick Ballore. He's been on the show before. We love him. That interview is brought to you by our new friends at Packback. Check out the best coolers in the world. Looking forward to talking to Nick. I'm going to be asking Nick what his top speed he thinks, what he thinks his top speed has been, how many 8-year-olds he thinks it would take to tackle him. I got all kinds of hard hitting questions, Lofa. Prepare for
some hard hits.
Oh, yeah, man. But before we get into all that, we need to let you know about Wiener Schnitzel, everybody. Two locations up there in Western Washington. One of them in Everett, one of them in Fife. Or I'm sure you can order on one of those apps on your phone. But however you do it, be at Wiener Schnitzel. Do something different for lunch today. It's delicious. You can get the hot dogs and hamburgers, chili sauce on, chili sauce off. Whatever you want to do. It's awesome. They also got their $3 meal deals menu. With the prices of everything, Lofa, I don't know if you've noticed, but man, I went to the grocery store the other day, bought a granola bar, and had to take out a loan. It's ridiculous out there. It's crazy. But not at Wiener Schnitzel, everybody. Right, Katie?
Nope.
What else do they do at Wiener Schnitzel?
They have $3 deals.
No, I said that already.
Oh.
It's a good show. You should listen sometime. No.
Chili dogs.
If they mention Take 12, what are they getting,
Root
producer
beer,
Katie?
Coats.
Come on now.
Free hot dog.
Free hot dogs. That's right, everybody, at Wiener Schnitzel. So go check them out. And then also Delta Airlines, 12 status, everybody. Go to delta.com, sign up for 12 status. Get 1 mile for every yard the Seahawks throw for. Lofa, I told you I was going to ask Nick this question, but I'm going to start the show by asking you the question that my son asked me. How many kids... Stay with me. Stay with me here. My son asked me this. He said, how many of me's, meaning like 8-year-old boys, do you think, would it take to take down a professional NFL running back? All the way to the ground. You got to get him on the ground. And he doesn't, like, it's not like he scores a touchdown and then the play's over. Like, this guy's just got to run around until kids get him on the ground. How many kids?
40, 50, I don't, do you know 50? How strong they are?
Oh,
yes.
I mean, yes, I kind of do, like, not personally, you know what I mean? I've never, not really, but yes, but
all right.
50?
Let me just take you back to Beastquake, where 11 grown-ass men, some of them getting 2 attempts, couldn't even take Marshawn down.
Uh-huh.
So, like, now, and they are highly skilled.
True.
Highly trained.
Uh-huh.
And it was a playoff game, so it was kind of important. So you magnify all those factors, and you think an 8-year-old is just going to take a running back down?
How much do you think an 8-year-old, what's he coming in at, like 50, 52 pounds, something like average 54 pounds, something like that, per kid?
Probably, yeah.
So then,
that's probably the average.
17. You sure, like, 17 or 18 kids couldn't do it?
I mean, they might, like... He might trip over him, but, like, mm-hmm. Does that count?
Well, you got to stop the legs first. We know that. So they'd have to get the legs stopped, which would be really hard to do in of itself.
Well, yeah, how are they going to catch the guy, first of all?
You've got to wear him out. they got to wait until he gets tired.
See, this is the middle linebacker mind of mine. This is where I go.
Uh-huh.
Like, variables, what are we talking?
Okay.
You know.
All right. All right, fine.
Got to take it all into account.
All right. Welcome to Take 12, everybody. This is the show, sort of. But also, we should talk about some football, like right now. Lofa, the Niners coming up on Sunday, man. I feel weird about all this stuff because I just don't know. Like, I don't know how to feel as a fan and where I'm even at as a – because we just played them, and so this whole thing feels weird. And then playing Thursday back-to-back Thursdays was weird, and then this one's a 1 o'clock Sunday, so now we're back to real life, but it's already week 15 or whatever. This season's strange.
I mean, I think the weird part about it is just watching them go to Philly and dismantle the Eagles, who only had one loss prior to that. So, yeah. If by weird you mean not awesome, then it's very weird.
And I'm really fighting against my own feelings of that right now, I think. And I'm sure everybody out there is. We got to try to stay positive. That's all we can do, right? But I don't feel like there's a lot of hope in the Emerald City right now.
I'm hopeful. And I said it because of the way we played last week. We didn't come away with the win. But we gave ourselves a chance to win against a very good Dallas team. Mm-hmm. So the cool thing about this stretch is that this is, and it looked like it last week, playoff football. You know, just need a couple more plays. And so the turnover differential is really what has separated the Niners from the rest of the field in terms of their last four-game winning streak. They've got eight turnovers, and they've, you know, only given up one, which was to us, Jordan Brooks' pick six.
Yeah. Well, we need to do better in the division. That's no secret. We have one win in the division this season. We got to get another one to do anything. And, it feels very humdrum, but at the same time, any given Sunday, then again, we all watch what happened. I mean, and we can ask Nick about it when he gets on here after walkthrough is over and he joins the Zoom. But what do you think, Lofa? I mean, we talked about the game last time, we broke it down. But what is that thing that happened last time that we just absolutely cannot let happen this time? The biggest Lofa key to the game.
I think the run game has been very strong with that offensive line for them and McCaffrey, who is, you know, probably the best running back in the league. And what they were doing with the guards and even some of the tackles, they were climbing to the second level, like going straight up to the linebackers. This is a problem if your front four can't get off the block and make a play. And it didn't really happen for us in the first go round. I got a clip that I'll send him, McNasty, and he can put it up for everybody. But you see them climb straight up to Bobby and Brooks. And from there, there's so much space as a linebacker. You're like, all right, well, McCaffrey, who's already super talented, he can go outside, he can go B gap, he can go backside A gap. Like, now I have to make a decision, you know, right now. And so McCaffrey's patience, you know, on top of his speed just makes it so dangerous when you have that many options. So we got to get off of blocks. If they're going to climb to the second level with that line, we must get off of blocks at both levels, our front and our linebackers.
Injury report. We're recording a little bit later in the week than we usually do, so we have it for you somewhat. Pete Carroll talked after practice at some point, or maybe this was just today even, but Kenneth Walker, he sat out of practice again but was out there for the walkthrough, and Pete Carroll said was looking good. Good to see him out there moving around. He said he was flying around. So that's good remarks anyway, even though he missed practice. Charbonnet, same thing. Took place in the walkthrough, but not in practice. Abe Lucas only came out of the game with soreness, so it looks like he's good to go. It's Jordan Brooks who seems like might have the most concerns about playing on Sunday. Pete said that he really isn't able to do much at all at this point, and so it would seem Brooks might be out for Sunday, huh, Lofa?
Yeah, I don't know if he makes it. He didn't finish that game last week, and, you know, just had the look of on his face like, you know, damn, like this is – probably more than
significant.
This, you know, one game and injury. So see what happens. I was very pleased with the way Devin Bush stepped in and played. And that's tough to do. Just come in right off the bench and, you know, start because you didn't get the whole game week of prep. So I think with that prep, he did show a lot of communication out there. I think, you know, having him next to Bobby will be good for this second go-round.
Yeah. So okay. So Bush, I was gonna say. So what do they do without Brooks? But okay. And then offensively, I mean, Geno played the game of his life against the Cowboys. Probably one of the best games we've seen him play. Of course, probably wants to have some more opportunities in those last drives. But if he plays like that in this game, and the defense kind of does what they kind of weren't able to do it against Dallas, especially at the end, I think we're in good shape.
Yeah, no, we will be. And, you know, everybody focuses on Geno, but when you look back to that Niner game the week before and the focus was on Geno, like, get the ball out, look downfield, nobody was really open. Mm. And, you know, the times that he did try to throw, there was an interception, there was a ball tip. So it's like, I think, you know, whatever happened last week, which, and we were getting guys open left and right, and, you know, and he was delivering, that's the formula for success that we got to repeat.
I'm just kind of waiting for Nick to get in here. Also, I realize I didn't start recording the video again, but I got all the audio, so don't worry, everybody. Why don't we do this? Let's take a break and let's set up for Nick to get in here, and then we'll chat with Nick Ballora on the other side of the break. It's take 12. We'll be right back.
I told them to hit record
sitting down
before you got here.
I should have. As soon as I saw him taking his seat, I should have hit record. I knew he'd be coming in hot. Number 44 in your programs, number one in your hearts. Nick Ballora, returning champion to the show, everybody.
Thanks. Enough with the fake okay. one. Let's get into it.
No, we recorded that. That's us clapping and record it.
Yeah.
So it's genuine.
Nick, thank you for being here, man. Especially a big week for you guys. Kind of a mini bye with the way this schedule sets up for you guys, but another big matchup with the Niners obviously coming up on Sunday, and a huge rivalry game again and so soon.
Yeah, no, it's been kind of a crazy stretch here. It was nice to get a couple days off. Obviously, I got out of the country for a couple days, and by that I mean I was up at 6 changing diapers and watching God knows what my son wants to watch. So but it's always nice to get a little break, and yeah. You know, we're right back at it, and then it just rolls on.
Yeah. I'm remiss because I forgot to mention the interview and Nick sitting down is brought to you guys by our new friends at Packback, everybody. The best coolers ever, packback.com, if you want to get one. Nick, are you into coolers?
I am, and I was promised one for appearing on this show, so I will get my address to you guys.
Katie, you might have to write that down, okay?
You really walked into that one.
Okay.
We could get you the Packback backpack.
Yeah, they got a backpack. That,
I would hope so.
Say that 10 times fast.
Ballora in a Packback backpack. It just sounds right. Yeah, you guys.
Some product placement in between two Ballores.
They do have a sweet. There you go. They have a sweet backpack. They got a huge cooler. You guys know about them. Go pick them up. The segment brought to you by Packback. Yeah, they're the best. So I don't remember where I was going with this, though. Now I've thrown me off either. By my own live read.
I have a busy life.
No, Nick. I was going to ask you, I mean, dude, you know, you've been in the league for a bit. You've been just a Seahawk for some time now. This rivalry with the Niners, I mean, I've been through it my whole life as a fan. Can you take us back to your first game against these guys and share with us some fun memories for yourself from this rivalry?
Yeah, no, I mean, I played there in 2015 and 2016. And then I got here in 2019, I believe. It all kind of runs together at a certain point, but I believe that year J-Mai hit a field goal to win the game when we were there, which was awesome. And we've really had some great games with them. And, you know, it's always kind of fun, and it's always interesting playing a team, you know, having the rivalry like that, and then playing them basically 2 weeks in a row is kind of wild. So I think that's kind of fun because you can see like little stuff that shows up in one game, and then the next game you're kind of prepping for something being different, but you don't have that much time to kind of prepare. So it's always a tough game with them, and you know they play us tough all the time, and you know I think it's something that you look forward to as a player because it's a little bit different than the rest of the game.
How's the mood in the building this week? Oh, sorry, Loaf. I was just going to say, how's the mood in the building? Like, we saw what happened against them the first time. You guys played great in Dallas, but of course didn't come out with the result you wanted. So How's it feeling this week around the building, and what do you guys got for him this time?
You know, I think it's just right back to work, and you know, it's not even some BS like cliche thing, but I think Coach Pete does a great job of keeping everything consistent, and you know, no matter what happens outside the building, you know, the previous week's game, on and on and on, you know, things remain constant, and I think that's a like a reassuring thing for guys as you know, as players, because it's consistent. You know what you're going to get. You know what the schedule is going to be. You know everything that's going to go down. So it's not like all over the place and a bunch of adjustments here and there for different stuff of the schedule. You know, as dumb as the schedule sounds, but like having a consistent thing, I think is huge. And I think it's been a big part of our success and, you know, Coach Pete his entire time here.
Nick, so take us back to, I know I don't want to spend a lot of time there, but the last game against them, what did you, looking at the film, think that they really did well from a defensive standpoint?
You know, I think obviously they have great players on all three levels of the ball. And I think it comes down to, at the end of the day, in the NFL, it's about executing, and whether it's special teams, defense, or offense. And, you know, you can see how games come down to a couple plays here and there. And I think basically it's just, you know, minimizing mistakes. You don't want to turn the ball over. You don't want to, you know, get behind in the sticks, especially when you have, you know, that D line and linebackers. I mean, they're a great team. And you got to play, you know, close to perfect to beat teams like that. So, you know, we're just looking to kind of, you know, right the ship from last time and obviously correct those mistakes and not have any self-inflicted things when we play them.
I got a suggestion from a play calling standpoint. If you want to hit chain up.
Yeah, I got my pen and paper here.
Yeah, take these notes.
Yep.
I want to see like 5 Nick Ballor carries.
Oh, you guys, let's go.
I already had that written down. Yeah, no, he knows that, so I don't even have to relay them.
That's just, okay.
Yeah. We'll just repeat
standing,
it for
him. Standing
I've been,
suggestion.
I've been leaving him threatening voicemails and stuff with like a voice. Yeah.
Are you getting some? Are you getting some offense and defensive snaps at least in practice?
Yeah, maybe it's just sometimes I kind of feel like I'm the kid that like the little kid that plays video games, but his controller's not connected. Like they'll let me, you know, they'll throw the ball to me here and there, but I'm like, I don't know if this is actually viable here. So, no, but it's, you know, I'll do whatever they need me to do. And, you know, obviously I'm electric with the ball in my hand. So, you know,
everyone knows that.
We know that. Really, well, it's not only what you do on the field, Nick, but off the field. Of course, we love Between Two Ballors, and you had Bobo on recently, and Lofa and I, we were chuckling about it before you even came on, man. We love that show. We love checking it out. And I think the only thing we'd complain about is we just want more content from you more often with that stuff. It's awesome.
Yeah, guys. I mean, as easy as I make it seem, there's a lot of writing and hard work. It's, I just have to, I got to get more guys on there. Guys are a little gun shy about being on there, which I don't really understand.
Really? With a host like
you. But do you improv that? Do you improv that, or do you actually write some?
No, I just make it up. But I kind of have an idea of like, I mean, I have an idea of who I want to interview, but I usually kind of just wing it. I've like written down a couple things. I think DK and Diggs, I had a couple things that I kind of scribbled down, but I know it doesn't appear, it seems so effortless and it's been rehearsed, but
it does, dude. It's great, it's fantastic. We love
the amount of views that it gets, and most of them are coming from a house in Wisconsin somewhere.
We just wish we could have sent you one of our Bobo Mojo t-shirts in time so you could have rocked that. Can we?
Yeah, we could
still send you one if you
spend 5 minutes with them. All right. I've seen enough of that.
Well, we'll send one to the facility. If it makes it to you, that, you know, that's neither here nor there. We'll see.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll wear it.
Okay.
I'll humor him.
What about the miles per hour question, Brett?
Because this is another thing we were talking about before you sat down in anticipation of you sitting down, Nick, and they're clocking guys now in the NFL with the miles per hour. What's your peak speed you think you've gotten your Nick Ballor human machine moving? Before, like, what do you think you touched?
I think I got 20, I think, or oof, like 19.9, but
yes.
I can't, I really don't like all this analytics nonsense they've got now, because there's really no, there's no hiding behind those numbers, but
no.
Well,
that's a good, but sometimes it's a, you know, I don't know. It hasn't worked in my favor very often, but they always put it up in the meetings to be like, this guy is,
oh, they do?
Best. Yeah.
Oh, interesting. So I thought it was just something fans looked at for fun.
It's like top three fastest guys or whatever, so I don't have to worry about
it. But Belor, think about it. If like this was out back in the day when we were getting drafted, we would have got drafted higher because they could have shown the acceleration and be like, okay, he hit 20, but it was only like for like a yard.
Yeah.
But then went back down to 18.
And game speed, too.
But he's got a 20.
You know, it's not a 40 in your shorts.
Yeah, I think saying we is a little disingenuous, considering I think you got to be getting close to 40, right? And I'm only a mere 34 years old. So me and you, no, exactly. Because I think we squeezed out every, well, you, what did you run in the 40, Lofa?
Forever. Four.
He ran January.
4.8.
Google. So
4.85, I think.
Did you really? Yeah, me too. Well, 4.84, but
Nick,
did you really?
Yeah,
I will race you tomorrow, Belor.
Yeah, you probably beat me. I feel pretty haggard. Yeah,
right, we got a lot of games.
McNeil will show up and film
that.
Got a
lot of games on.
Yeah,
Nick, I have
that's
a
good content.
Nick, I have a question here. This comes to you from my 8-year-old son, sort of, because he asked me the other day while we were watching football. He said, "Dad, if a professional football player, which that's you, Nick, had the football, how many of my friends and I would it take to get them onto the ground?" And I don't know. I couldn't figure it out. We were doing all kinds of math, and I don't know. I came up with like maybe 12, but Lofa tells me it'd be like 50. How many 8-year-olds, Nick?
Well, we were actually just talking about it. Someone was asking how many full-grown adults would it take to subdue a silverback gorilla, which I'm not claiming to be that, but and we said like 100. So I'm trying
least.
To think. They say like if someone's really unhinged, it takes like 10 men to subdue them. Wow. So if you extrapolate that with 8-year-olds,
yeah,
I'm saying probably like, I don't know, 40, just because they'd probably just get in the way. Sure. I mean, I have no issue running them over either.
Yeah, you might.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, you can. Yeah, there's no rules here. Truck stick optional.
Yeah, they're at the age where they're not really wearing deodorant. They smell, you know, I would be mad just yes. running. So you got to factor that in. I'm going to say probably 35.
I said 50. You're going to juke a couple, run a bunch over. Yep. Some might be up around the neck, but you're carrying them into the end zone. It's
Yeah.
It's gonna be ugly.
Well, this is
it's not good.
This is the content. Sure. This is the content that Take 12 listeners tune in for.
Yeah,
Nick,
don't clip that. That could get weird. With you don't want to. Nick's gonna need to run over 35 8 old. Yeah,
100 to subdue a gorilla. I think you better get into like the 500s, my man.
Oh man.
No, yeah, no, I think it's way more. Someone, I won't say his name. Will this be? But like he said, 100. I'm like, I don't.
Oh, Disley's out of his mind. They got four hands.
Yeah.
They're just gonna be blocking everything, mm-hmm. choking everything out. First couple hundred are dying. Just saying.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree.
That's true. War of attrition, really, more than anything.
Exactly.
Nick, we really appreciate your time, man. And special shout out to Packback, P-A-C-B-A-K. No, P-A-C-B-A-K. Oh, my gosh, Katie. Sign language.
We'll
letting
edit
us
that.
Down over there. PAC. Packback.com.
I'll rectify the situation and wear one on the show next time I come on.
There you go. Nick, thanks so much, man. Hey, go get him this weekend. We're rooting for you guys, and you know, we'll be watching.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate you, Nick. Picking you up in fantasy. So try to score for me.
Good luck to your team.
Always good to catch up with Nick Belor. That guy cracks me up. What a personality. And I think we've said it 1,000 times, but he must just be the best locker room guy ever, just cutting people up. Right, Lofa? You got to have a guy like that on your team.
Yeah, and he's a hell of a ball player.
Yeah.
But to have that kind of combination, you know, it's awesome. You know, he's a leader in that locker room. But it's good when he could be one of the guys, but he's also just one of your generals out there, man, yeah, that makes sure everybody stays in line. I'm like, let's go.
Who was that guy for you in terms of the sort of comedic stylings, though? Because I'm into the class clownness of it. Who was that? Well, I mean, other than Lofa, who was that for you guys?
We had a well-rounded group in terms of, leaders. Grant Wistrom was authoritative, very tough, mm-hmm, but had the hilarity, you know, on the other side of things. Oh, just crack you up. But when it was time to get shit going, was like, all right, you know what time it is. And it was just a total night and day.
Yeah.
And so Grant was one that comes to mind when you say that.
We got to get to our score predictions, everybody. Brought to you by Simply Seattle. Go to simplyseattle.com. Use the code TAKE12. Take 12% off of any of their wonderful stuff over there at Simply Seattle. They have a brand new, Lofa, brace yourself, they have brand new Pac-12 championship t-shirts out there. They're kind of vintage style, purple with the old kind of husky on there, and they got a kind of vintage look to them. They're awesome. Simply Seattle knocking it out of the park like they always do. And you know they got the NIL deal with Penix, so they got all the Penix stuff that you could ever want at Simply Seattle Dog Fans. Get over there. Mention Take 12, take 12% off. Lofa, score prediction time. It didn't go so great against these guys last time. Hung in there tough against Dallas. Now we got these guys again. How do you see it going on the scoreboard?
Yeah, those shirts are vintage because you guys haven't won anything in a while. But congrats on the Pac-12 championship.
Okay.
Now, right, prediction. Right. Score prediction. These guys have been on fire offensively, protecting the ball and, you know, just taking it off of the other team at an alarming rate. So I still think we can hang with them, hang tough, and find a way to pull this win out. But we're going to need the turnover battle on our own. And so I got us going down there and winning to stay in this thing.
Yes.
35-34.
Whoa.
I don't think they can be held under 30. So I'm saying we go down and we get 5 touchdowns on them. We have to.
Whoa. This might be the first time in Take 12 history because Lofa goes for an offensive sort of shootout there. Fun, entertaining Sunday afternoon, 1 o'clock start there for you guys. I'm going the opposite. I think this is one of those weird Seahawks in division, ugly, low scoring field goals, field position. The defenses really step up. Brock Purdy, check down Charlie, checks it down a few too many times, but we come up and make the tackle because, you know, he can't go down the field. So we come up and we use 6 Seahawks to tackle Debo because I heard that's what it takes. My son told me. that's what they're saying on the playground anyway. So I think it's one of those just weird ones. And you know I like the weird scores. So give me the Seahawks at 15. You Seahawks 15, and the Niners, the dreaded Santa Clara Niners 13. 15-13 in a weird one with a safety by Nick Ballore.
Okay. I like it.
By the world's funniest Seahawk, Nick Ballore. Yes. Take it to the bank, everybody. That is it. That was what it'll be. So. Hey, also, epicseats.com, if you need seats or you want to sell seats, epicseats.com, everybody. Mentioned Take 12 sent you. Take 12% off when you spend $100. Add $12 per ticket when you're selling tickets. It's epicseats.com. McNeil, you've been quiet on this episode. You have anything from the peanut gallery today?
I think we win 45-13.
Wow. Bold.
Because losing 5 in a row to the Niners is not possible, in my opinion.
It's a bold prediction, Cotton.
I have faith.
It pays off for him.
Yeah, we're getting Shohei.
That is an outrageous score.
We're getting Shohei.
Hey, let's go, man. Let's go. Let's go.
Never mind.
What?
Nothing.
All right. Well, then there's nothing left to do but put our hands in the middle and break this thing down. Let's go, Lofa.
You got it, bud. We're McNasty. You want to break us down, McNasty?
Yeah, come on, McNeil. You do it.
I might mess it up.
With that attitude.
Take 12 on 3. Take 12 on me. Take 12!
You didn't say one, two, three.
I'm not putting my hand down until you say one, two, three.
Okay. Take 12 on three. Take 12 on me. One, two, three.
Take 12.
Take 12. Woo!
Hey, man. It's like Simon says. I follow directions.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.